Welcome to IDK It. I am Thaddeus J. McKee, and along with me right now is Dyke Michaels.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. We're just introing what's about to happen, kind of preparing the guest for Raising Arizona. I am interviewing Chris King.
Uh-oh, look out.
Chris King. Actually, I met Chris King through you, Dyke. We were here at a Harder Brunch, and Chris King, I think like the second time he came over, he asked to fix my bike. I was like, oh, this is a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was like, hey, I'm going to fix your bike, but also just know that I'm going to take some cheap shots along the way. No, I don't know. But it was, no, he's a cool dude. How would you describe?
I mean, Chris King is the quintessential, he's an asshole with a heart of gold. Yeah.
That's a good way to explain him. He does have a heart of gold. He's a nice guy. He is an HR man, right?
Yeah, which is completely counterintuitive to his entire, like, attitude.
Really?
Like, you're like, oh, I don't expect the HR guy to be taking shots at me.
You know? Right.
The thing is, too, like, you guys have just now met, calm down Chris King, you know? Like, I knew him, like, a decade ago when he was still wild.
Oh, you knew wild Chris King?
Wild Chris King.
Man, he was actually really fun to interview. It was a lot of fun. We bounced around. We talked about Raising Arizona a little bit, and then we went into all these other movies that he was into, and we talked about them, and that was great. Like, he, like, introduced me. Like, I have a whole list now. Yeah. Of movies to watch because after this interview.
He introduced me to a lot of comic books and definitely movies too. The thing about Chris King is that he definitely has a very unique perspective on movies and such. Whereas it's like, I've never met somebody that'll have like a similar opinion on stuff sometimes. And he's also very good at, like, you know, if he doesn't like something, he has a library of reasons why he doesn't like it.
He'll let you know.
He's not shy about it.
And he's going to let you know on this podcast. Please stay tuned. This is going to be great. And you have something coming up here, Dyke, pretty soon.
Yes, this weekend, which would be the 16th. Sunday the 16th, we're going to be doing a pop-up Harder Brunch podcast. We're going to be slinging some food. Some biscuits and gravy, some breakfast burritos, and some cinnamon rolls. We're just doing three simple things, and then we're going to have beers and mimosas on site. And that's going to be at Gomez's new place, which is on the near east side of downtown Indianapolis. And I thought I could pull the address up while I was talking. 2827 East 10th Street. We're going to be there from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., chorizo, biscuits and gravy. I also make a mean vegan biscuits and gravy. Bacon breakfast burritos, and then Chef Bridget Hran's gonna make some giant orange cinnamon rolls. We're gonna be nice and warm and gooey.
Man, that sounds good.
It's gonna be a fun time, man. It's just gonna be us hanging out, clowning with whoever comes in. And I'm just kind of interested to see what the reach is and how many people wanna come out and, you know, hang out with us.
Absolutely, I'll be there. Stay tuned for Chris King.
Yeah.
Lucky enough to see something outside county limits. I ran up the digits. I don't have no motherfucking business. Complain about nothing. Ain't got no time and no patience for lists. They be making a who they debating is better. Let's face it, he one of the greatest. No Bill Cosby shit, but if niggas is sleeping, then fuck him. Most niggas don't understand me. I don't do the Grammys. I be in my jammies on so.
Welcome to IDK, baby. I am here in the podcast studio right now, like, you're listening to this podcast now. This isn't in the past. You're listening to it in the present. We've found new technology right now. So anytime you turn it on is when we are in the podcast studio. Is a weird soul-binding contract, but we did it. Right now I'm here with the one, the only, Chris King.
Oh my God. Are we actually doing the podcast?
We're doing it right now. This is it. I just set it up. Yeah.
I wasn't sure based on what you said when you said we were doing it now seven times. I wasn't sure until you said it to me, and now I know we're doing it now.
Well, yeah.
But we were in the past.
Whenever they hit play.
It's up to them.
Yeah,
it's choose up to your own adventure situation.
Exactly.
When they play, they get to listen to it. We're in the past, though. They're listening to it. We're probably doing something else.
We're always in the past. If you were,
yeah, really. They've never. No podcast listener ever hears us in the present. We're always in. They're time travelers, essentially. We're traveling in the future with our voices, and then they're listening to us, and we're doing other things. We're entertaining people while we, brush our teeth.
We are time travelers.
Yeah.
And that's what I said last podcast with Dyke.
Nice.
I said he's a slow time traveler.
Dyke Michaels will work in time traveling into any conversation all the time. He's worked in conversations about time traveling multiple times with me. Not as much on our podcast, but he loves time travel.
Okay.
He's excited about it.
Let's just get into this real quick. What's your favorite time travel movie?
Oh, man, I wasn't ready for that.
Psych, I gotcha.
There's so many good ones. Honestly, I don't know if you know this, that...
I'm going to guess it for you.
Okay,
Time
go,
Traveler's
go, go, go.
Wife.
Oh, my God! No joke. I wish I'd written it down, but seriously, no joke. That was what I was going to say.
Is it seriously?
That's fucked up. I wish I'd written it down, man.
I love that movie, but I was trying to think. I thought you'd be like, dude, that's so basic.
No.
I cried during it. I'm not going to lie.
Listen, I'm a huge fan. This is really embarrassing, and everybody else knows this, but I love rom-coms.
Yeah.
Those are like my favorite genre. So it's like a time traveling movie in a rom-com.
Yeah.
Like it's great. Oh, I love Time Traveler's Wife.
It's beautiful. Like you start to feel sad for him. And then for a little bit, he does seem like a pedophile.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, like, why are you visiting this girl?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, this is the woman that I'm going to love.
Yeah.
And you're like, that was creepy. But like, and then you're like, oh, like you forget about it at the end because you're crying at the end.
Yeah.
Because like, he's like, I just want to be with you. Like, he's just, it's all about cherishing the time that you want.
Yeah, it's a underrated movie. I think that movie's amazing. I remember I read the book because the book actually takes place in Chicago, and there's a scene where I believe he time travels into Belmont Army, and at the time I worked at Belmont Army.
Look, I know how odd this must be for you. It's odd for me, but would you like to have dinner with me?
Okay.
So everybody at that store when I worked there was talking about it, so I picked it up. And so it's just a fluke. And then Eric Bana had been in NARC. I don't know if you've seen NARC before. But Eric Bana was Hulk. He was also in Black Hawk Down. But I liked Eric Bana at the time. I'm like, oh, my God, he's in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched it. I liked it a lot. And it's also, I can't remember what's her name from Mean Girls.
It was a beautiful lady that I don't remember.
Just a bunch of dudes that don't remember the beautiful lady.
It was that hot girl, right?
It was that hot girl. What was her name? That sucks because we're definitely going to know. I want to make sure we get her name. So it's just like, we only know the dudes.
We know the dudes. But
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah,
Rachel McAdams. Just a lady that's not even that big of a deal at all. Rachel McAdams was the time traveler's wife. She was actually also, she was in another time traveling movie where she was like the girlfriend. And it was like About Time, I think is what it was called. But she's been in two different, which is also really, really good. It's really good.
It's About Time is a great movie as well. What was his problem? I don't remember.
I think that's what it's called. I'm like looking it up on IMDb. So it's funny because I do two podcasts. I do this podcast, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Harder Brunch by this podcast. And then I do this other podcast with Gunnar. And then we do stuff like this where we call things out. From movies and we talk about them, but anytime we talk about movies or things come up and names come up, we can look them up and then edit. But then in Harder Brunch, we don't edit. So it's hard to do both of these at one time because I don't know if you edit, but About Time was the time traveler again. Mm-hmm. And then she was the girl. It'd be nice if at one point Rachel McAdams, she gets to travel.
Yeah. I think the future is women time traveling. Cause how many women time travel? Like, one movie where a woman time travels?
I think honestly, the new Doctor Who, when there was a female Doctor Who, that's the closest. And everybody was pissed when there was a female Doctor Who. But is that the only one
you think of?
I cannot think of another female time traveler.
Wow.
Can you?
I mean, X-Men.
What? Those are superheroes. Not a time traveler. No one.
So she.
Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, she sends Wolverine.
Yeah,
into the
she
future.
Again. The woman is facilitating a time travel, but not actually traveling in time.
Man,
yeah, that's some. We just uncovered some bullshit.
Oh man,
as a couple of dudes, we've really picked one out for women. Why aren't more women time traveling? And the thing is, too, is like I'm trying to think. There's another time traveling movie that's coming out. It's the new. I think it's a new Marvel movie? I can't remember because Dyke. Oh, the Loki thing. Yeah. Loki is time travel too. And again, once again, a man time traveler.
Well, now he Loki is trans, right?
I don't think so. No.
I thought Loki was trans.
What do you bait? Is that from the comics?
Well, I heard from the comics he mated with a horse.
Oh shit!
And had a baby.
Okay, I don't know any of that.
This is what I've been. Someone could have been messing with me.
Yeah,
and I'm like putting this on my podcast for no reason.
Loki,
but
is
look it
not,
up if you're listening to this right now, and it sounds like nonsense. Look it up.
It does sound like nonsense, but actually, as you were saying that, I couldn't tell if you were serious. But Loki was a woman for a while.
Oh, he was.
I think of it as maybe 5 or 6 years. I didn't read it then, but he was a woman for a while. That's actually a good call.
Okay.
So that would be technically definitely a stretch, but technically Loki's the first female time traveler.
All right. We did it. We made that through.
We
connected those dots with Loki being a time traveler. Speaking about traveling through time, we are going to talk about... We're going to go in the past and talk about Raising Arizona.
I'm so hyped.
Now, you were there when I originally thought Raising Arizona was about a man who was raising a daughter who Chris just spilled coffee.
I knew it was going to happen.
All over the table.
I was trying to so carefully do it. And
the good thing about this table, it has a lot of electronics to soak it up.
Yeah, it sure does.
Okay. Oh, and then there goes the beer can.
Yeah, these coffee stains are forever.
Chris is just a hot mess over here.
Sure is.
And it's a good thing that Apple laptops aren't expensive.
Yeah.
Like, they're fairly cheap and pretty easy to get.
You can pick up 7 of those.
Yeah,
no problem.
Get them easy.
I got no coffee on the laptop. It's just on this moving blanket.
If I could travel through time, I would have set my laptop.
That's actually
on the floor.
Really cool. If I could travel through time, I would have made this coffee. I would have done the French press before we start talking about things.
Okay. All right. Well,
Raising Arizona. So when did you see it? How long ago did you see Raising Arizona for the first time?
About 3 days ago.
3 days ago, the first time seeing Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the format of your podcast, and obviously I feel obligated to take over podcast.
All right, I lied. No, it's okay. It's okay, but I lied. It was 7 days ago.
7 days ago, okay.
It was about a week ago. But like, here's the
first
thing.
Time, though.
Yeah, it was the first time, and you can leave this, Chris. Like, because you are the expert in Racing Arizona.
I'm the expert in Racing Arizona
this as well.
In this room.
I'm leading you leading.
Yeah.
You understand that?
I get it.
We're you're in a safe place.
Yeah, I know. I feel safe. Except for this coffee that burned my hand, but that was me. Yeah. I did that. I created my own safety concern.
Yeah, and not to mention the oil spill on the computer.
Yeah. It's nothing. Nothing is on the computer. The computer's very safe. No, I think we're good.
Oh, that really scared me.
I did ruin our moving blanket that we have that insulates the table. So, yeah, Raising Arizona, so you hadn't seen it, and your synopsis of it before you saw it was that it's a man...
Raising a lady, his daughter, that was mentally handicapped.
Yeah.
The whole town was going to, like, try to rally around. And
oh,
get her.
I see. Okay.
And you guys said I was close somehow.
Mm-mm.
But it was about the whole town raising this Arizona baby.
A baby was raised. Outside of that, nothing.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You've seen the movie. You know
right.
that we're not right.
Right.
You know that
well,
you're not right
you
at all.
You misled me on the Harder Brunch Patreon that I was pretty close.
That was relatively
like, yeah, close.
You raised a baby. Outside of that, nothing else was close.
Yeah, nothing else was close
at all.
So I didn't even know Nicolas Cage was in it.
He's on the cover.
Well,
if you've
seen the cover.
You didn't even see a picture.
Yeah, I haven't even seen the picture on the cover.
Wow.
And like, and some people would say that was Nicolas Cage his best movie.
I wouldn't say that. I would say it's up there, but I would always say that Face Off is the best Nicolas Cage movie.
You think that Face Off is the best?
Have you seen Face Off?
I just watched that during
the
pandemic.
God. That's the first time you saw Face Off.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, that's when I started going back in the movies because Dyke was talking about movies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know any of these movies, but
Face Off. You didn't know Face Off.
Yeah.
What about Con Air?
Face Off is ridiculous when you watch it now, man.
It's ridiculous then. Even when we were watching it then, it wasn't like people were like, that was a film. It was crazy.
Wait, you get looking. Yeah.
It's like looking in a mirror, only not.
It was a crazy movie. It was John Woo was doing John Woo stuff. Do you know John Woo? Do you know the stuff he's done?
No, I don't
John
know.
John Woo's a Korean actor, maybe Japanese director. And he did a bunch of like big. He did a bunch of like movies that inspired Quentin Tarantino. So there's just a bunch of stuff. I think it was The Killer. was John Woo. Do you know the killer? It's a, I think it's Japanese. And it's a movie he's directed. He was a big influence for Quentin Tarantino. So what happened is Quentin Tarantino got huge. And then Quentin Tarantino said, well, John Woo was a big influence. He did the killer. People watch those movies and like, that's awesome. And then he started doing stuff here. It didn't translate as well necessarily, but Face Off was huge. Everybody loved Face Off, but it's two of the craziest actors doing the craziest things together. It's a great movie.
Have you seen that Community sketch where they talk about is Nicolas Cage a good actor or not, or is he just overdoing it?
No. Oh, he's not. He's not a good actor.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, he's losing his mind every movie. So have you seen The Rock? So the trifecta of Nicolas Cage is not Raising Arizona. Raising Arizona is a fantastic movie, but I put that in that's the Coen Brothers movie. As far as the Nicolas Cage movies that you have to watch that are essential, The Rock, Con Air, Face Off. Have you seen those?
I've seen not Con Air.
Oh my God.
I haven't seen The Rock.
If you watch Con Air, I kind of want you to come see it at my house. On that big giant TV. We're thinking that this is what I'm thinking. I'm in talks with my wife about getting a projector for the deck.
Ooh.
So that we can watch movies outside when it's warmer.
I'm so down. You have a fantastic deck.
Yeah. So because we don't use it that much, we just kind of hang out there every once in a while, but do the grill and then a movie. And then, we would do movies like Face Off.
Con Air party coming up.
Yeah, and you had Con Air.
I don't know if I could do Face Off again.
Well, you don't have to do it again. We could do like
Face Off was like so ridiculous.
It's amazing.
Like I was like, okay.
There's so many good things about it. So we could do Con Air, and then you said you haven't seen The Rock either.
I haven't seen The Rock.
Oh man, well don't.
The Rock is good.
Don't watch him. Don't watch him. You have to watch it on the big screen. You have to watch other people. It's amazing.
Do you have a popcorn maker? I don't know why I asked that. I don't even like popcorn. What? I don't even like popcorn.
Who does that? I do. It's called a pot on my stove.
What if that was like my bigger break? Like if you do not have a popcorn. Like that sounds awesome.
It would be funny if you went everywhere with a popcorn maker. Like I heard you didn't have one of these. Like can I add this? Like no, that's mine. That's my traveling popcorn maker.
Fad with a traveling popcorn maker.
I've never seen you eat a kernel of popcorn.
Before we get into cinephile Donnie. He's a registered cinephile.
Registered cinephile.
Yeah, he has to go door to door and let people know.
He's seen a lot of movies.
He's seen it all.
Seen it all.
I'm a cinephile.
That's all he wants. Like, hey, I'm Donnie, I'm a cinephile, and I've seen it all.
I've seen it.
And then walks away with no more explanation.
Here's Donnie.
Hey, Donnie. How's it going?
Yeah, the bug. Hey, baby. Sorry, I'm at work right now, baby. At the video store.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also eating my dinner, baby. Hope you don't mind.
You're
baby.
Eating again? I thought, okay, yeah, yeah. Well, I always catch you when you're eating. Donnie, we're on the podcast right now, and you're here with Chris King.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, baby. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, man, baby.
He knows a lot about movies, too, but we're going to be talking about Raising Arizona. And I know you probably know a little bit about it. Baby. Go ahead.
Never heard of it, baby.
Oh,
you wait.
Wow.
Hey, I'm kidding, baby. Hey, come on. The Farley brothers, Chris and his brother. You know they made Dumb and Dumber. They made Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You know.
Are you talking about the Coen brothers?
The Coen brothers.
Yeah, they're great. You know. I think their best movie might be the Big Lebowski, but honestly, baby, Raising Arizona, that comes up to one of my all-time favorite movies, baby.
Nice.
Okay.
It's a classic, baby.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted, baby. I'm watching Woody Woodpecker here, baby. Oh, man, that's classic, baby.
You're watching?
That's classic, baby. Anyway.
Where do you work again? You know what?
I work at, we sell videos here.
Yeah.
You know, it's... So I got a customer before. I'll just tell you a little story real quick. You know, apparently she got the wrong movie in the case. I mean, she ran a Braveheart, baby, and apparently Stop and My Mom Will Shoot was in the case, baby.
Oh, man.
When they got home. And listen, I told him I did him a favor, baby. I said, Braveheart's a terrible movie, baby. Stop and My Mom Will Shoot is one of the greatest films of all time, baby.
Stalgetti.
Come on, baby.
And Stalgetti, so I said, listen,
baby,
Stallone.
What is that sign out there? I said, what is that sign, baby? What does it say? And she said, Donnie's Radio Store, baby. I said, okay, baby. That's where you are, baby. Remember where you are, baby. Anyway,
you call it Donnie's Radio Store and you rent movies?
Baby. Yeah, we sell videos, baby, but, you know, we got radio as the little backup plan, baby. You know, this video business isn't too smart, baby. You know, you gotta have a backup plan, baby.
Oh yeah, it's a dying business.
Yeah, baby.
So I know that you know a lot of hot facts about the radio. I mean, excuse me, you got me confused. I know you know a lot of hot facts about the movie industry. What's something that you could like share with us
about Raising Arizona?
About Raising Arizona. Right.
Oh my goodness, baby! My pal Freddie. I mean, he was scared to death. I mean, that lone biker of the apocalypse, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, baby, that guy scares me, baby. Terrifying, baby. Apparently, he didn't know how to ride a motorcycle, baby, when he signed up for the movie.
Oh, wait.
He crashed his motorcycle into a ditch, into a hole, the first day of filming, baby. It's a true story. He broke both of his legs, baby. But he was a tough guy, baby. He just downed a few painkillers and was right back on the bike, baby. He just kind of taped his brakes together. But you got the bike of the apocalypse riding, you know, high as a kite off pain meds, all duct taped together. Man, that is scary, baby. You know what the craziest part is, though? He lied, said he broke his shoulder, baby. But he was, because he was afraid that he wouldn't be able to keep his job if they knew he broke his leg, baby. But he was a tough guy, baby.
So you're saying the whole time in the movie we're seeing him, he's riding with broken legs.
He's riding high as a kite, holding a baby. I mean, think about it, baby. He's got firearms. He's shooting rabbits. Woo! Scared of that man.
Wow. Can we look that up?
Yeah, it's very scary, baby.
Can you look that up, Chris? Or I'm just gonna look that up right now. And on Google, I'm not seeing that, anything about that.
You might be able to find it, baby. You might not. Like I said, this is the Donnie net, baby. This is the truth behind the truth. The facts behind the facts. I mean, you know, my pal Freddy, he's been, you know, Jaws, you know.
Well, I thought you were going to name another movie.
More movies.
Just the Jaws thing.
But talk about Helen Hunt. Yeah, I mean, she is fantastic. Probably my favorite aspect of this. Copycat is also another great one.
I think Holly Hunt is in the...
Holly.
I think Helen Hunt. I think Helen Hunt was in high school when that movie came out.
Oh my goodness! Bless the Heart, Comedy Rules, Succession, Incredibles 2, Here and Now.
Yeah.
The song, The Big Sick, baby, and Break.
It's Holly
you.
Hunter. Yeah.
Strange Weather, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, baby. Disney Infinity.
You're saying Holly Hunter was in that
Disney
movie?
Disney Infinity Marvel.
Holly Hunter was in Batman.
Oh, yeah, baby. I mean, she's the best, baby. She was an alien, you know. She's in all of them.
She was in a lot, yeah.
You know...
I don't know if she was in all of them.
Baby.
I don't know if she was in all of them.
Even the ones that you mentioned.
She was in some of, she was in some of the things. Oh, no, Batman versus Superman, she was the senator. That's right. I see what you're saying. I thought it was another Batman. I thought it was like an 89, 90 Batman. But yeah, she was the senator in that movie. Yeah, she's done a lot of stuff. Not Helen Hunt so much. Helen Hunt only did. She did Mad About You, and then like Twister. I think that was it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That tornado movie they did, that about scared me.
Yeah.
Oh man, baby. That was a scary movie, baby. And Bill Paxton, you know.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's a sweet guy, that guy. He's a sweet guy to work with. Man, he's a tornado though.
You know someone that worked with him?
I'm just kidding. I don't want to spread any news, baby. You know what? I Freddie, he's got the insider information on it all, so he's an encyclopedia. So, you know what I mean, baby? It's nice to have him as a friend. He's a little evasive, but...
What did you say?
He's a little evasive, baby.
Oh,
evasive.
I thought he said racist.
I thought he said racist, too, but evasive.
He's a mysterious man, but, you know, he's an encyclopedia, baby.
What I hear is he doesn't like talking to a lot of people. That's why we can't necessarily talk to him directly.
That's right, baby. You know, fun fact about Raising Arizona here.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Cage actually went bald during the filming of Raising Arizona. I mean, it was a shame. They wanted to keep messing his hair up worse and worse, right? As the movie went on, very genius idea, baby. But, you know, When it starts rubbing, you know, vertically, horizontally, diagonally, whoo, those hairs, you know, It's tougher, baby. I know from experience, baby. I mean, I'm a cue ball, baby. I got long hair, though. You know what I mean, baby? I don't mess around, baby. But, hey, it ended up being a wig halfway through, baby. So they didn't mention that to anyone.
So
they didn't mention that, baby.
So you said that for last time. You said James Spader, as you told us, he was bald. And now you're telling us that you're saying that Nick Cage went bald in this movie? Because this is a fairly this is a pretty
once you become a bald guy.
It's old. It's in the 80s.
You're right. I mean, I'm a bald tracker. You know. Once you're bald,
bald tracker.
You know, you're like, you see on the track, guys down in the bald, just because, you know, it makes you feel better. You know what I mean, baby?
Yeah.
But hey, that's a little bit too deep for me, baby. I don't go that deep, baby. But, I'm sorry. That lone biker of the apocalypse, baby. I mean, he just about, you know, he's about to crap my pants, baby. I'm sorry, baby. He's scary, baby.
Yeah, he's a scary dude. Chris, who's your favorite character in
John Goodman?
John Goodman, yeah. Hands down.
I mean, hands down, John Goodman. Whatever the prisoners were, I cannot remember their names as we're sitting here, but John Goodman always kills it.
He's punching the that was my favorite scene for, like, that was a good scene. He's like punching the they think they left the baby, right?
Yeah, they left the baby multiple times in the car. When they're
the best scene in the movie. Love it. Best scene in the movie, baby.
When he they left that baby a couple times. They kept robbing banks, and then the that's your intro music right there. And then
I like that scene, baby.
No, you're all right. And then anything with the two with the prisoners. I don't remember the other guy's name, but I think he played Flat Top in the Dick Tracy movie. William Forsythe. But yeah, John Goodman played Gale and Evel. Those are the best. Those two were.
Wait, he played two people?
No. John Goodman was Gale, and then William Forsythe was Evel.
Okay, that scene when they came out of the mud.
Yeah, in the very beginning.
Yeah.
I think, that's in the beginning, right? That's the very beginning. Is that the first scene? Mm. That's the first scene, right?
It might have been. It's like
I do not remember, baby. I want to put it on now, baby, and find out, baby.
It's amazing.
It's the first scene, I think. And it's almost scary.
Yeah, it's amazing. That movie's great. Well, the thing is, that's a Coen Brothers kind of takeaway, is that they're not doing, it's not comedy, it's not drama, it's definitely not horror. I don't think anything was super scary there, but it's all these different things, and none of them 100%, right? It's this cool mix of, like, it's just a movie that has all these things in it, and they're kind of hard to put in one of those categories.
Something that I really liked.
Well said, baby.
What's that?
Well said.
I said, well said, baby.
So, yeah. Something that I really liked, I really felt like when I was watching the movie, I felt like I was watching a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, you said that. But I think that's because you've never seen Coen Brothers movies.
Okay, is that...
Like you? But you've seen that, Big Lebowski? Oh,
no. Sam Raimi, baby.
There Will Be Blood?
No, that is Paul Evil Thomas Dead, Anderson. Baby. That is Evil Sam Dead, Raimi. Baby. Evil Dead is Sam Raimi. Not really relevant to our conversation, but he is right.
we got these like-minded... We got these like-minded filmmakers, baby. You know,
yeah.
They're doing their thing, baby. They're really wilding out. And you know, Raising Arizona is one of the best films of all time, baby.
He's right.
Without a doubt, baby. I mean, you know, I probably seen it way more times than Matthew McConaughey, baby. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Anyway, baby.
Well, thank you so
wearing
much.
Wearing the VHS out, baby.
What's that?
Oh, thank you, baby. I'm wearing the VHS out, baby. Man, these customers, baby, you know, they leave me alone for like 4 hours, you know what I mean, baby? And then they come around, like a couple people just want to rent a movie, you know what I mean, baby? It's just kind of annoying. You just got to leave me alone to watch my movies, baby. Anyway, it was great to talk to you guys, baby.
All right, good talking to you. You have a good one.
Bye.
Take care, baby.
Yeah, we're going to have to look some of that up. I don't know if he was... accurate on everything.
It seemed factual. I mean, I think I wouldn't.
Do you think it did?
I think that it makes sense that what's his name, the biker, broke both of his legs. That makes sense. I didn't really see him walk around that much. You saw his legs and you saw the top of him, but to his credit, I don't think I ever saw them connected.
Chris, here, I was always under the impression that there was a stunt baby.
I think there's usually two babies. I think he was a twin.
So you think there was an actual stunt, maybe? Not they didn't use a plastic.
I don't think his parents are like, hey, this is the real. I have twins. Here's the real baby. Be careful. The other baby, also my baby. You can count that as the stunt baby. I think they probably don't call the baby stunt babies. Like, I don't know any parent that's walking in and like, hey, my kid will be the stunt baby. Like, cool, we're just going to throw him out the window. Like, whatever, as long as he's a celebrity.
You have stunt babies for hire.
I think, that's, once again, you need to put that in your back pocket. That's hilarious. Like a business of stunt babies, that would be really funny.
I was in Hollywood really young.
Just
I was
like a stunt super baby. Grungy stunt babies, yeah.
Like, hey, we're stunt babies.
It was a 1970s stunt baby. It doesn't get any harder than that.
Hi, if you were a stunt baby from the 1970s to the 80s, you might be eligible for money. We know we went pretty hardcore in the paint with stunt babies. If you or a family member have been affected by being a stunt baby, you may call our law offices now. You may be entitled to a lot of money.
Mary Kate Olsen's like story, like what if she comes out with a book, how she was originally a stunt baby.
Well, there's two of them. One, oh, I see what you're saying. Maybe she was the stunt baby.
She was the stunt baby.
Maybe.
I don't know. Who got more airtime?
Like, that's a great question. Those guys are not talking. I haven't heard them speak since they were children. Like right. You see them like sucking their cheeks in, just walking around angry. Everything they do, even if it's the most fun thing ever. They always look like they're bats. Like they just got frightened and they're well, bats.
I do feel like their cheeks might be not be sucked in as I remember there might have been anorexia or stuff going on.
Maybe.
There.
And obviously I don't want to say anything bad about that, but like what I think issues. Is maybe let's be optimistic. Maybe they're not anorexic. Maybe they just decided to sew the cheeks together.
Like the blue steel.
Like they sewed them together just to always be in blue steel. Yeah. Maybe we haven't, it's interesting. Obviously this is your podcast. We haven't really talked about the movie that much.
Well,
like at all.
We're getting to it.
Oh, we're getting to it?
Yeah.
I feel like, is this one of those podcasts where you say, like, this is the theme, and then you just bounce around and you never actually get to it? Like, I just ran out of time.
And we're back. Well, it looks like we didn't get to talk about Raising Arizona.
Next week, we'll be not talking about RoboCop. Have you seen RoboCop?
No.
I could just make a whole podcast of just asking you if you've seen things, and then you saying no. You've never seen a single RoboCop?
Oh, there's more than one.
Oh, there's three, yeah. There's a show, too, which is terrible.
I remember RoboCop, I was at a new babysitter. I was like in kindergarten and they showed RoboCop and like I saw part of it and like, I guess I had nightmares that night. And like what happened?
I can see that.
And I was like, oh yeah. Like what movie were we watching? And I was like, oh, what movie was I watching? Oh, it was RoboCop.
Yeah. It's the most, you've seen it, but not when you were like coherent. RoboCop is one of the most violent movies I've ever seen in my life.
I was removed from that babysitter.
Yeah, it would make
immediately.
Sense. It's a great movie, though. They had great taste in movies. Not maybe for a child, but good. So what do you don't talk about the movie at all? You just have, what's his name, call in for like 45 minutes, talk about whatever he talks about, and then when do you, you don't spend any time like addressing the movie.
We're going to address the movie right now.
Oh, okay. This is it. We're in it. Okay, go ahead.
And Raising Arizona. So I was telling you my favorite scenes. Like I liked the acting in it, like how it was like the actors are a little bit distant, right?
Yeah.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
We're on a podcast. Your podcast specifically.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
I did not know if you were looking at me because it's such an inappropriate question. We're on a podcast asking questions in the middle of a podcast. Like, do you care if I ask you a question? Like, not the appropriate time, dude. That's something that should have been asked a long time ago. Like, in fact, no. Now you're stuck on a podcast with a guy you can't ask him questions. No, you cannot ask me questions. I just want to sit here and look at my phone and drink your coffee. Jesus Christ.
Is the Lobster Coen Brothers?
The Lobster Coen Brothers? What do you mean?
Did the Coen Brothers do the Lobster?
The Coen Brothers are Fargo, Big Lebowski, and then previous to that is Raising Arizona. But Fargo and Big Lebowski are the biggest ones.
So what is it that makes them the Coen Brothers? Like, what's the aesthetic of Raising Arizona? Like,
that's a good question. Yeah, I think it's because they spend so much time where other directors don't spend their time. Right. Okay. So like the part and obviously I am not a cinephile, but that's just what I think is that they spend their time like with the Like in the beginning scene where they're stealing the babies, that scene where they're sort of looking at the babies, deciding on the babies, chasing them down. It's not like a goofy scene, right? There's not like this crazy zany music that you typically see. Especially, I always like when you watch movies, you really like watching movies that came around that time to really understand like what they were doing and the level they were at comparison to that. In comparison to what else they were doing, but there's no like zany music as he's chasing these babies around. It's kind of quiet. There's kind of quietly that baby's about to fall down the stairs. And then you have the two parents sitting down there looking up like that. Spending the time there is something that a lot of people just weren't doing.
I think that's really so interesting. And it was really deadpan. And it was like, I don't know how many like really good deadpan movies that were out back then.
I don't know if there were any.
Maybe that set the precedent.
I don't really, you know what's funny? That's a good question. That's a good comment. I don't really see a lot of people that are really influenced. I think that when you talk about Wes Anderson, I don't remember, I've seen a lot of interviews with Wes Anderson. I don't know that he ever references the Coen brothers. Maybe he is, but he's the closest I can think to that does something similar, but he's so overly stylized. Where Coen brothers are the exact opposite. There's zero style, and it's just very, you know, sparse and kind of just like, this is what things really look like. If you go to their trailer, it wasn't like a done up like 80s version. It was like the dirt trailer. It looked like they just like found somebody on the side of California, like, hey, can we film here for a while? And they didn't add or take away anything. It's like, that's what it is.
Would you do that for your house though? Like if like someone's like, hey, can we just use your house to film?
Yes. Yeah. I think I would just want to know, actually, yeah, wouldn't you do that? Yeah. I would do that. Hey,
we just want to do a porn.
What if they? I don't want to do a porn. But what if they said I would do? I would definitely want to do like a movie. But what if they said this is what I always worried about, because I've always lived in like kind of shitty places until now. But I always worry they come in like, hey, can we use your house? Like, yeah, man, that'd be cool. It's like, so yeah, it's gonna be the Crackton. We're just gonna have like the character's gonna be at the bottom of the barrel, and then we're gonna need your house for that. Like, I guess that makes sense. I suppose. I am a before that never sees an after.
This is the scene where he realizes he needs to get his shit together.
He realizes this is the worst, and he's gonna kick a bunch of your stuff and break it. But it looks like in this apartment, most of the stuff's broken, so you probably wouldn't care. Like, you're right, I don't care.
I think they would choose my house before they choose your house for that.
Now, like that, I just got that house like yesterday.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. So I've never seen the Porkers.
No, you haven't. You've never seen Porkers. It was like, I feel like it's been a while now, but yeah, it was like Dyke and I came from the same place. I mean, not obviously ethnically, he's a black person, but I mean,
not his mother. No, brothers.
But I mean, I think we were both like broke waiters and we were broke servers, and we both went to college while we were going to, we were waiting tables. I think I just chose better. That's what happened. I mean, he's still doing it. He's doing everything he wants to do. I mean, I don't know. The difference is like he's doing exactly what he wants to do all the time. I think that's why I always come here and want to do that stuff, because you see Dyke doing that, and I'm not doing what I want to do. I was on a call about incentive pay for 3 hours today. No one wants to do that.
Right, right.
But that's a Coen Brothers scene. It's watching me log into my computer.
Yeah.
Sit on a call I don't want to be, just kind of hanging out there for a while.
The long shots.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually really do appreciate when a movie can pull off a good long shot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, I don't know if you ever seen Birdman.
Yeah, I've seen Birdman. It's great.
Oh, I think that's like,
it's really good.
Probably in my top 10 movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw it because I like Michael Keaton. I will see anything he does. And you, we found out you are a big fan of Mr. Mom, which is crazy. Or you wouldn't say big fan, you just, I've seen it.
I would never say a big fan. My eyes have seen it.
You didn't like Mr. Mom?
I mean, I just know that he has a baby.
He has, I think it's three. He has a baby and then two other boys. And then Terry Garr, who's the best, a huge crush on Terry Garr. She's the mom, gets a job. And then she has to go to work, and she's just, even though she's been out of work for however long she's been out of work, she gets like a marketing director job, right?
Yeah.
And then he has to manage the kids, which it doesn't work now. It's not like a movie that works at all now, but I think it's funny to watch a chauvinist. Yeah. It's always going to be funny to watch a chauvinist man do things that he thinks are beneath him and that he shouldn't do, and then like get it kind of fucked up. I thought it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, Mr. Mom was okay.
I like it.
So back to Raising Arizona.
Yeah, sorry, on the movie we were actually talking about. So Raising Arizona, yeah. So I saw it when it came out, and it was one of those movies that was just like around that you just always had. I remember we quoted it a lot. Okay. Like the scene where Holly Hunter's like, gotta go get daddy. Like we used to quote that all the time. Gotta go get daddy.
Yeah.
And then like we would quote stuff like that, or turn to the right, turn to left. Like we would just quote it all the time. It was like a big thing in our house. And that was obviously pre, I think the thing is it's 87. I think is when it came out. So that's pre like, you know, talking about movies and being super into movies, at least for my family. They were not people that were like super into movies, but we loved it. And I think when that movie came out, I was 8. I know that we didn't see it in the theater. So it was just one of those things where it was on HBO.
Okay.
Like, remember HBO when they used to have that big intro? Like, oh, I hope it's good. And I think at the time it was always Raising Arizona.
That's how I think they got you back in the day with the long intros.
It was amazing. It's like it's got to be good. Like, look how much they're spending on this intro. They built a model of a city to roll into a picture of 3 letters. This has to be good.
Look how much money they spent on this intro.
How much time is this nigga spending on the intro? It was the thing about the HBO intro is that you'd get, as soon as you see it, be like, fuck, this is it, man. They're doing it. This is, and how it went is like somebody, I think it's like a family's window and it pulls out. And so you kind of get tricked and you're like, oh, this is a movie that I'm watching. And it pulls out the window like, oh my God, we're about to see an HBO movie.
Yeah.
And then it's like, da-da-da, da-da, it's amazing. And then you get to it, and this is the thing, that whole time, Dad, I don't know if you remember this, you're gambling, like, hope it's something good. And you're like, movies you hope it is, like, hope it's just something I haven't seen, or hope it's this. And a lot of times it was just Raising Arizona. It's just like, oh, it's Raising Arizona again. But I think it was like feature presentation was always like, I don't know when it was, because I was like a kid. I think it was like once a week or something like that. But that intro was phenomenal. It made whatever you were about to watch more exciting than it probably was.
Yeah, because you're just like shaking it and like you're tapping your foot. Like,
there's so much of it going on. Then they got those lasers going around the O. Like, it's crazy. That was genius marketing. I really feel like they should bring that back.
The long intros?
The long intros? Like, if you... Like, now
you know what we should just make a movie that's a full long intro.
Yeah.
Like, where like you think it's about to get to the movie, but it just never
That's what
does.
This podcast is. It's a podcast that's about a movie that you ever actually get to talk to. We're still not really talking about Raising Arizona.
We still don't need to talk
about it. We are that HBO intro. We're the zero. We're the O with all the lasers spinning around. But I think, but if you... I think they did that. I can't remember. It was Justice. I think it was the band Justice did a video that was similar where it was just the intro. HBO intro was their music video. I don't know if you know that band. They're like like an electronic band. They're not very good. But they did something similar. But I think when they do, you know, HBO always has like movies. Like they do in theater movies now. Like the next one coming up, I think, is Suicide Squad. So think about it. You're about to watch Suicide Squad and they did the old school intro. How hyped are you going to be about Suicide Squad? Dude. Pretty fucking hyped.
Yeah.
I'm hyped just thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's what if they're going to do in theater movies, they should definitely bring back the HBO intro, the long intro.
The long intros. You heard it here first, guys. The long intros are coming back.
Well, we hope so.
Well, we're going to make it.
Yeah.
We're going to make it. And this has been a long intro. if you have not seen Raising Arizona, guys, go out and see it. Is there anything else you want to say about Raising Arizona that you can think of?
No, I think it was amazing. I think it's really good. I think everybody should see it. I also think it holds up really well. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people recommend movies from 87. You're like, if I was 8 when I saw it, I'm sure I'd like it, but now it's not good. I think it holds up really well.
Right.
It's not even like a movie you like go back and see like, oh, I see where it influenced things. I think it's a really good movie. I think if you made it shot for shot today with a young Nicolas Cage and a young Holly Hunter, it would hold up and it would be huge. Honestly. Yeah.
It is very deadpan. I will say this about it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I remember pausing. I'm like, oh, like I'm going to get some more food. Like I'm going to get really comfortable for this movie because this doesn't seem like a chore. Like I'm just excited to see what happens. Yeah. It's very entertaining. I would say entertaining outranks the funniness, to be honest.
I don't think it's supposed to be funny. You're supposed to, I mean, I don't think it's supposed to be a comedy. I don't think that's what it was.
On the top 25 funniest movies on Rolling Stone.
I would argue that it's not like funniest, and I would be surprised if the Coen brothers like, we wanted to make something that was one of the funniest movies out there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they think that, but there's just a lot of stuff going on, and there's funny parts, and especially like there's parts where he's like crawling away from the motorcycle guy, and I think he's like under the car, and he's slowly crawling away, and no one's laughing, and that's a scary scene. Like he's about to get killed possibly, and this guy's beating him to death and dragging him out. Did you laugh at that scene?
I wasn't laughing, no.
I thought it was hilarious. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if they meant that to be funny. Like, that part where he's getting dragged away and he's, like, slowly into the car. And then he's get pulled out. Or but his face doesn't... Nicolas Cage...
So the violent parts are your funny parts.
No. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of it... I mean, yes. But I think there's a lot of it that is... You just don't know what they meant to be funny. It's not like they... A lot of the comedies, especially back in 87, it was very much like, this is the funny part and this is the serious part. Or this is the drama. But this movie, it's like, it's all kind of mixed together and it's all kind of just amalgam. Like, hey, maybe this is like, this is part's funny. It's going to be funny. And then while you're laughing, you're going to be freaking out. Like, they just do a big mix of it. It's just hard to say it's a funny movie.
So didn't you tell me that, they did, Burn After Reading just to take a break from a serious movie? Can you tell me a little?
Anyway, Burn After Reading No Country for Old Men was huge, and they were doing No Country for Old Men, and I think this is an interview with one of the Coen brothers, and they said they did Burn After Reading at the same time. They were working on two sets. Yeah. So they do this intense, really serious movie. People are dying, and it's amazing. It's a great movie, and it's got a weird tone shift that you're not expecting. You've seen No Country for Old Men, right? Mm-mm. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. There's so many movies that I want to be on here for. So No Country for Old Men is definitely one of those movies. And we're just speaking about the Coen Bros. So technically it still ties to Raising Arizona. No Country for Old Men is one of those movies that I was watching. You're watching it and you expect this one thing to happen and then you leave and all of a sudden it's a completely different shift that is not like anticipated at all. So when I first saw it, I did not like it because I went to the bathroom and then all this stuff happened. I'm like, what did I miss? Like I was gone for like a minute. Yeah. Like there's no way it could have shifted this dramatically. And it does. And it's one of those movies that I really like. Hatefully it was the same where I watched the first time and I hated it. Like I hated it. Mm-hmm. And then you watch it again, like, oh, I actually like this. And those are the movies that I really, really start to like. Movies that I really hate at first and then watch again and then start to like, those are the movies I really, really like. So Hateful Eight, No Country for Old Men. But anyway, it was a dark movie. There was really dark tones in it. A lot of people were violently killed in that movie, and they were like, I think just as a breaker, they need to make a movie also about murder. Also, a lot of people dying in Burn After Reading, but it was hilarious. And Brad Pitt it's one of my favorites with Brad Pitt. It's George Clooney, John Malkovich. Yeah. Like, it's all amazing people.
Yeah.
And just doing amazing work, just kind of fucking around. Like, the whole movie is just them fucking around, and it is genius. There's the Brad Pitt scene in the closet is one of my favorite scenes from any movie. Like, it's just so unexpected. And again, you just don't expect it to go that way. And then it happens.
I have
it's amazing.
Not seen it in so long.
You have to check it out. I love it. I love Burn After Reading. I love Frances McDormand. Frances McDormand is married to one of the Coen brothers. I should know, but I can't remember which one. But she's married to one of them. But she's really, really good in Burn After Reading. And I wasn't a huge fan of hers outside of Fargo. But it's good.
Okay, yeah. I mean... I got
Tilda Swinton.
A Serious Man is.
Ooh, have you seen A Serious Man?
No.
A Serious Man is about the book of Job. So, you know the book of Job?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go to church. So, it's essentially Job. It's a story of Job where it's just all these terrible things happen to this guy, and he is a serious man. And in this movie, and according to the Jewish faith, at least portrayed in this movie, is that a serious man is a very religious man. So no matter what, he's unfaltered by his faith in God is, as things keep happening, he's still a devoted to Judaism, which is amazing. Wow. And that premise sounds like really heavy, but it's really, really good. Again, another movie,
but it's not funny,
man. That's the thing, is like, it's hard to say. That's a classic Coen brothers question. Is it funny? It just depends. It's definitely not, it doesn't give the appearance like it's trying to be funny. They're not like doing things and like, hey, look, isn't that hilarious? Or like hanging out with the funny. It's like, it's happening. It's sort of like, it's funny is like shots that are hung out with. They hang out with shots too long or hang out with someone's face or just certain things that happen, ridiculous things that are going on. It's really, honestly, A Serious Man is the closest I can really call it is like a like Rushmore.
Okay.
Have you seen Rushmore?
No, I haven't seen Rushmore.
Have you seen Rushmore? Oh my God, there's so many movies that.
I don't know what I like. How did you guys have? I'm like thinking of all these movies. How do you guys have time to watch all?
I'm
these
old.
Movies?
I'm significantly older than you.
You have.
I have an extra 10 years. You have a decade on you. And we're both talking about movies that predate like are or big when I was in a movie. Also, when I went to college, I was really into movies. I don't know if you know this, but like in 99, 2000, that was like a renaissance of like films. Like things are coming back. I mean, you have The Matrix, you have Fight Club, you have Primal Fear was at that point with Richard Gere and Ed Norton had just come out. I mean, you've seen that movie, huge movie. You know, obviously The Matrix being huge, Fight Club being huge. American Beauty had come out around that same time. So all these like big movies are coming out. Office Space was just one of these movies where they had, you know, up until that point, you had people wanted to work in an office. So, like, I go to high school, I go to college, I go to college, and then I get out of college, and then I get my job, and I'm in my job, and that's it. And then this was a movie that was like, well, yeah, but what? Then what? Like, then what? Like, then what are you supposed to do? Like, what's happened after that? And that was great. And American Beauty was sort of the same thing, where it's like, hey, you got all of it. What is it? And Fight Club is actually the same thing. What's interesting about those movies, if you think about it, not to take away from the movies, I think they're really well made, but really what it was is it was a generation that was sort of bored. And then maybe a year later was 9/11 and they were no longer bored again. And it's just been a roller coaster ever since. I feel like it was like a payback for like, oh, you're bored? Here's a bunch of shit and we will never let up.
Well, you got those 80s movies that came out that taught you to be the boss and be rich and be rich was important. And then you get into the 90s and the 2000s where...
Like, and they got it. Yeah. Like all this stuff. It was like, it's a good point. It's like the dream of the 80s was sort of being realized.
Yeah.
And people were getting there. White America, by the way. They were all sort of getting there.
Not real.
It's like, well, yeah, we did all that, but we don't give a fuck. Right. Yeah. And then it's like, it's sort of a change. They have to change course. And people didn't really.
So it was like more of an in-depth look of ourselves.
And yeah.
It was almost like a midlife crisis era.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think it's fair to say that it wasn't just white America's version of that. I think, you know, growing up a white kid in white Midwest and going to a ridiculously white college, my view of those movies were completely different.
And did you go to White State? Is that what it was called?
I went to White U, actually. White State. I couldn't get in. So I didn't get in. I thought White State would be easier. It was sort of my backup. Surprise, surprise, White U picked me up. I mean, the hoods were crazy. But it was one of those things where that you look back now and you're like, what a bunch of douchebags, where it's just a bunch of white people that are like, I'm bored with my life. Like, because you're white, bitch. Like, everything's sort of going on. And then, you know, you look at, you know, I got older and I didn't watch them at the time, but then you start watching other movies that were coming around there. You know, prior to that, like Dead Presidents. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Dead Presidents, like those movies coming on and like shit was happening. And it was a completely different trajectory of what was happening in like Midwest white America. And we were finally giving African-American filmmakers were starting to get a voice, but obviously not the predominant voice that all the white men obviously had.
Yeah.
So it's weird. I think that needs to be said. I don't want to ever be the person like, oh my God, this was cinema. Here's a bunch of white directors directing white people. Like, that's an asshole thing to say. But at the time,
that's what it was.
As a white kid in the Midwest, like these were still good movies with relevance. And things were really, really good. And you kind of just, at the time, we didn't have like IMDb and Google. So you wanted to know more about like, oh, what else did this director do? We were into like P.T. Anderson and he did Magnolia. And like, what else did he do? He did a movie called Heartache. Like, we were just into all that shit.
Yeah.
So, but that was then. And then movies sort of started getting really homogenized and generic. I think, especially when you talk about the 90s, there's some good stuff in there. But then, not the 90s, like the 2000s, like up until the aughts, they sort of get boring up until like 2010. And then it's still... You know, it's coming back because shit's happening, but for a while it just wasn't as good. So my point of all of this, and I've been dragging on, is that it's not surprising that you haven't seen those. One, because you're a decade younger than we are. Mm-hmm. And two, there wasn't a lot of shit that sort of went down in that decade that you had.
Yeah, that was like, actually aimed for me anyways.
No, that was good. Yeah. Plus you're probably doing other stuff. Like you have the internet.
Yeah.
You were like introduced to the internet. If we had video games, like we did play, like I remember playing Tony Hawk, but if video games and like the internet, if Google was around, we'd be like, let's go to a movie. Like, fuck movies, dude. We can download fucking albums.
I think I realized more like, because I think in high school, I was in sports.
Yeah.
I was in show choir.
Yeah.
I was doing something every season. So I didn't have that much downtime.
Yeah. My life was downtime.
And I didn't even realize that I didn't. Like, I remember I got out of high school, like, yeah, Thad, you were always doing something. I'm like, I guess I was.
Yeah.
You know,
I wasn't doing a lot of stuff.
And so when friends were having like sleepovers and watching movies, I was over singing my heart out or bashing my brains in.
I don't know. That's not a better way to go. I mean, that's you being active. You being active is going to be much better than like, I think Dyke is probably the same way. Cause I know he and I both know the same movies. We're sitting around just watching movies and you're doing shit. I think living a movie is probably more interesting than just seeing somebody do stuff that you're actually living in real life. Yeah. But that's the deal, is like my life was sort of downtime.
And then this is where I'm doing. I'm going back and trying to feel not as alienated when people talk about those movies.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Dude, that's I really appreciate you coming here for this podcast.
It's great.
I feel like we might do a part one and part two of this because
there's
a lot of good information. I'm not gonna say that you rambled. That'd be rude.
I'm not gonna. I know, man. I got too excited. Like I was just
kidding. You did great.
Everything was rattling off. Like once you start talking about movie, I told you that before we started. Like if I had anything to do a podcast on, it would be about movies. But I just think like the podcast world is super flooded with movie stuff. But mm-hmm. I think what you're doing, specifically because you're coming with this voice up, I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about these movies mm-hmm. that I haven't seen.
And that's
I'm so hyped.
And that's why I also like to discover what was your life? Why did you have time? Why did you get into said movie?
Yeah.
And I think the movies that you get into and the movies that you're passionate about say even more about your character, right?
Yeah.
Because it's something that you connected with. Like, for some reason, I connected with Butterfly Effect. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I had a weird childhood and, like, there's things I wanted to change.
I don't think that's it. Were you listening to a lot of, like, Disturbed or, like...
I like how you're a doctor. Like, no. Like, you're
like this, like,
doctor.
A lot of,
why do I like Butterfly Effect?
Maybe, like, a lot of KMFDM. I feel like people that are, like, watching, like, they have a very specific, like, music genre, like, they're sticking to, like...
Well, I did like Disturbed. Back then, but like, I don't think that's the main reason Butterfly Effect.
We literally just figured it out.
Butterfly Effect is arguably a good movie.
It was the first band that I thought of, and you're like, yes, I do like Disturbed, and you like Butterfly Effect. I just knew it.
I did like them.
Right. There you go. We just found the answer. You're welcome. I just found out why.
All right.
Disturbed.
I like Butterfly Effect. This would be a terrible doctor.
Done.
Who goes to this type of doctor? Like, hey, doctor, I need to figure out why...
It would be like, why am I so sad? What's your favorite band? Nine Inch Nails. There you go.
Well, that makes more sense than why is this my favorite movie?
No, I think Disturbed, Butterfly Effect, especially when you talk about how.
Why do I like Midnight in Paris so much?
I don't know that I've seen Midnight in Paris.
With Owen Wilson?
Mm, I don't think so.
Oh, that's so good.
I'll check it out. I don't know that I've seen. Is that the one where it's like him just, and the video cover is like him like walking around Paris? Right? Isn't that the cover? It looks it's like Owen Wilson just in like regular clothes walking.
It's so good. I mean, it really like touches on like the artist and it gets into the artist's lives and you just gotta see it.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen it before. It's like, it's in front of this like Van Gogh type thing. I've seen the cover for it. I'm like, I'm not gonna, it's just him walking around in like bell bottom pants.
Right.
Like that doesn't look like something. That what drew you in based on that poster? What were you really excited about?
My cousin said we should watch it, and we watched it. And it just goes into the lives and the personalities of the artists in that era, and like it's all of them in Paris at the same time.
Another Rachel McAdams movie. This has been a Rachel McAdams podcast, even though she was not in Raising Arizona.
Oh, you mean the hot girl?
That hot girl. It's that hot girl again.
Arizona.
It's that hot girl.
Oh,
that wasn't in the movie. The hot one. It's a Woody Allen movie.
It is a Woody Allen movie.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Woody Allen movies?
I love them.
Here's the thing.
Okay, I don't know if I've seen all of them. So where I usually stand, I guess, like there's that whole thing, kill the artist.
Yeah.
Long live the art.
Well, I don't know if you've seen that, you've heard, but Woody Allen's not in like anybody's good graces at this point. I mean, people are still, the thing is you can't talk, people are still doing movies with Roman Polanski, right? Roman Polanski. Yeah. Do you know about Roman Polanski? Roman Polanski, obviously huge, very famous director. He was ejected from the country because he admittedly had sex with a 14, 13 year old girl, something like that. Mm. Did you know that?
No.
So he can't come back to the country. And whatever country he went to, there's no extradition laws or whatever, so they can't bring him back. So just kind of a terrible human being. But people still work with him. People still want to do movies with him. And like Jodie Foster, I just saw a movie that Jodie Foster did with him. She was in it. It's just really weird. But is it Carnage? I think it was Carnage. Yeah, Carnage. It was off a play. But if you, it's interesting. Woody Allen's kind of in that school now, so people are like, oh, maybe we shouldn't watch Woody Allen movies again. But I, It's easy for me to say. I've never been
gonna,
a fan.
I don't know if we're going to, like, grow out of that. And I'm not saying, like, we're being immature.
Yeah.
But, like, if you here's my statement. If you have a movie that and you see it, it makes you uncomfortable. Okay, like, Woody Allen, I think, Annie Hall.
Yeah, Annie Hall. Have you seen Annie Hall?
Yes.
Okay.
And, like, I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Because it's very neurotic and... Yeah. Just him just going back and forth of like I like that type of style. So that's why I do like Woody Allen movies. There's some movies that are kind of weird where it's like, wait, like you're like dating this really young girl.
Yeah.
And then you see how that plays out in his actual life. And that movie makes you feel a little bit more uncomfortable when you watch it. And I understand for people that don't like Woody Allen now, they're like, oh, and I won't mess with any of his movies, why you don't mess with it. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But like when you think about a lot of artists too,
yeah,
like even back in the day, like ones were marrying their younger cousins
right.
and their nieces or whatnot.
Yeah.
And so like, and like, but we still have their art like on the wall and there was something beautiful in the chaos that they created.
Yeah.
And part of, I think being an artist is I'm not saying it's okay to do those gross things. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think part of being an artist is releasing your pain in some type of way on paper, screen, singing,
well,
something.
I would say that my thing is that I think that we're way past...
condone sexual assault or anything like that.
I'm just saying I think there's one part of it is you're not giving Woody Allen. Woody Allen's not living in New York right outside of Central Park, or he's not the super wealthy monster that he is because you watched Annie Hall, especially now at this point, or when you watched it. I don't think he was still getting, maybe he's getting like 10 cent residuals, but he's not getting floods of money that you're watching now.
But you're saying like supporting artists right now. So if
that's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. And I'm definitely not going to sit here and say, you should do this. Or maybe think about this. I am not in that position.
Could you watch a Woody Allen movie?
It wouldn't bother me. I just think there's a lot of people that are probably in that movie that are also pieces of shit. And he's a piece of shit because he's got power to do that, right? So
what did he do recently? I know he married his
he did that, daughter, but then right? Now it was alleged that he raped his own daughter when she was like very, very young. He wasn't convicted, gosh. Obviously, but it was all alleged. And there was recently Woody and Mia came out. It was on HBO, and it was basically just a documentary about Mia Farrow's version of that situation. He went to court. And there's documents and they show stuff, and it kind of alleges that he sort of moved things the way he wanted to move them because he was just this big, powerful guy.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the thing is like, we don't know. We're not it's hard to be like the judge because I'm watching a documentary that was very heavily edited, and it's not really fair that I'm going to go with whatever they've pushed me to. But, you know, I don't know. But I don't, on Woody Allen, I'm not a huge fan of Woody Allen movies anyway. So it's not like if I don't watch them, it's not taking anything away. There's never been a Woody Allen movie where I was like, oh, I have to watch that. That's my favorite movie at all. Like Annie Hall, for instance, I've seen it. I like, and I know this is not a popular opinion. I know they're different, very, very different movies. But I like, oh my God, I cannot believe I can't remember it. I just lost the movie that I'm talking about. We can edit though, right? You're going to edit this stuff. The Billy Crystal movie. Oh my God, I cannot believe this. This is going to be so embarrassing because I'm going to look it up. And then I'm going to remember it, and then it's going to be embarrassing. Harry Met Sally, dumbass. When Harry Met Sally. I think When Harry Met Sally is a better movie than Annie Hall, and it has sort of the same tones in it.
Oh, really?
Well, because she's into this, like, the guy. There's the whole thing of, like, I'm into this guy. He's just so great. And then Woody Allen meets the guy, and he's, like, this little turd dude, right? But he's this, like, fanatical artist. Dude, I don't know if you remember Annie Hall. I just remember that scene specifically. But then, yeah, but When Harry Met Sally is the same thing. They were like friends, and it's this whole thing about when men and women can't be friends. You look at it now, and, you know, in that movie, Billy Crystal's kind of a douchebag in that where he's really chauvinistic. Like, they can't be friends because I just want to have sex with you, and he's super chauvinistic. Outside of that, though, it's just two people that don't really know how to navigate a friendship and their feelings for each other throughout time. And then throughout that movie, there's like clips of these old people and their relationships. So I don't know. I like that movie better than Annie Hall. And I think that's the thing is like, there's probably Woody Allen replacements, but that's easy for me to say. I think there's a lot of probably people that know more about movies than I do that would say, no, you're a fucking idiot.
I want
to
watch When Harry Met Sally.
You haven't seen that movie either?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. There's so many movies that There's so many. It's so much. And the thing is, too, is I think the only thing I would say on this is that I don't want to ever give the impression like that's ridiculous. You haven't seen it, because I hate when people do that. I'm sure people do that to you all the time.
Well, all the time.
Yeah, it's bullshit. That's bullshit.
But
you were doing things. You were busy doing shit, living your life, where they were like in their mom's basement watching watching movies, watching The Matrix for the seventh time. I'm talking about myself, by the way. That's absolutely. So I don't think I'm definitely not mad that you haven't seen that, but it's just I'm literally excited for you to like see them for the first time, because that's the thing. That would be amazing. I would be a time traveler. It'd be if I had a power, I guess it'd be like I want to erase my memory of a movie and then watch it brand new.
Well, okay, that'd be great. That comes up to the closing questions.
Yeah.
I got three last questions for you. One question is, if you could erase your memory and watch a movie again, what movie would that be?
Okay.
And I'll tell you what mine would be.
Yeah, tell me what yours is while I'm thinking of
this. I would probably do Fight Club.
That's again. A good one.
I think just watching that with a blank slate.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the greatest twists ever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Because you'll never see it again that way. You'll never see it that way again. I think I didn't think about it as like a twist of how you watch it. There's a lot of movies that I kind of wish that I would just like see for the first time. You know, honestly, I think, and it used to be such a douchebag answer, but it still sort of falls into like, for me, it falls into more of a favorite movie category, like, because I'm watching it and it just doesn't hit me the same way that it used to hit me. True Romance, you ever seen that movie? Mm-hmm. It's Christian Slater.
I don't know it.
Okay, see, this is the thing. There's so many movies. It's Christian Slater. It's one of those things where, like, for movie people, it was like one of these obvious things. It was like Boondock Saints and True Romance that people were just like, oh, I've seen this movie. It's like, go fuck off. Boondock Saints is a disgusting movie. It's a piece of shit. But True Romance is really good. It was written by Quentin Tarantino and directed by Tony Scott, who directed. He directed Beverly Hills Cop 3, and then he also did Top Gun. It's amazing. It's so good. I'm not a fan of Christian Slater at all, but that movie's amazing. And if I could go in and kind of watch that for the first time, like every time I watch it with a blank slate, because you have no idea where it's going to go. It takes so many twists and turns.
No spoilers.
No, definitely not. But it's a roller coaster for sure. And what's really funny is it depends on what version you get. It's a different movie for you, because there's alternate endings. And like, depending on what version you have, that may be your ending. Yeah. What? Yeah, it's crazy. So you may see it and you'll be like, oh, I can't believe this happened. Like, oh, that didn't happen in my movie.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
What?
Yeah.
I want to see that now.
It's great. True Romance. I'm telling you, you'll be hooked. It's also Gary Oldman. Do you know Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
Like, he's in it, but he doesn't play like, he's a white guy it's a white guy, basically, who talks like he's black and has dreads and only has one milky eye. It is not at all what you expect Gary Oldman to be. Also, Sam Jackson's in the very beginning. And Sam Jackson was like famous at the time, and he's in and out of that movie. It's crazy. It's a great, great movie.
I thought you were talking about, what'd you talk about, Willis?
That's not Gary Oldman. That's Gary Coleman, you asshole. Gary Coleman. I was like, he played a white guy. Like, that guy, yeah. That Gary Coleman has some range.
I had to look him up. I was like, wait, what?
Gary Oldman.
He plays a white guy with a bad eye.
Yeah.
He plays a white guy with a bad eye.
Not Gary Coleman.
I was like, what?
That would be an amazing movie. Okay, if you know what, any movie where like everybody's the same and all the lines are the same, it's that one person's replaced by Gary Coleman, that's a great movie.
That's hilarious.
It's funny. Check it out. It's really, really good. But I think, yeah, if I could go back and watch a movie without that, I think it would be True Romance. It might be one of my favorite movies. It's awesome.
Okay. And the other question is, if your life, what your life is,
yeah,
and what it's become,
mm-hmm.
who would direct your movie,
mm-hmm.
and what would you say it's most like?
I would say Craig Gillespie, who did Lars and the Real Girl. Did you ever see that movie?
That's one of my favorite movies.
I love Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
So Lars and the Real Girl is a really good movie, and I picked it sort of because it's also sort of in the vein of what we're talking about and Raising Arizona,
mm-hmm.
where there's one thing in that movie that happens, right? There's one major thing, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody listening to that. If you haven't seen Lars and the Real Girl, it's amazing, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, yeah. One thing happens, and I mean, you'll know what it is the second you're watching the movie or the cover of it. And then outside of that, though, nothing really happens. Like, mm-hmm. everything's sort of related, and it's sort of like what regular people, it's a regular day. I would say that would be my movie. I think different movies throughout my life, right? If I was younger, it'd be a different director, different movie. But now, being old, I think you'd have to splice up my edit. You have to do some pretty elaborate edits, but it's mostly going to be long shots or me like walking to my car. For instance, here's a good that here's a very
is
good.
Is Harder Brunch your real girl?
Yes, that's my only
Harder
thing.
Harder Brunch was your real girl.
Yeah, that's it. I was going to say Harder Brunch is my real girl. Like, that's the one thing that's happening. But like, here's, for instance, a really good example of what my movie would be. Like, yeah. I this morning I woke up. And this is these long shots, which you can see them all in Lars and the Real Girl. I think the scene where he's looking out the window is shot very similarly. But it's like I walk out to my – I'm going. I realize that Amy's eating all the bagels. I get the keys, walk into my car. I got a Jeep, right? I got a Jeep. And I'm pulling out of my driveway. And, you know, I get in and I slowly – and the thing is this movie's been filmed because you can actually see it on my ring, me doing it. So I get in my car and I had just taken the top off my car out of this harness that pulls it up. And it's down, it's on my Jeep, the top is on my Jeep. But apparently one of the straps from the harness is stuck in my window and I don't know it. So I'm slowly pulling away. And this really happened today, which is why I didn't drive my Jeep today. I'm slowly pulling away and I hear this noise that sounds like a boat rocking. And it's this strap caught in my back window and shatters it into a million pieces. My back window on my Jeep shattered a million pieces.
Gosh.
And then I walk out. And again, this is on my ring. I stop, I walk out, quietly just walk out, and this is such a Lars and the Real Girl, Coen Brothers things. I slowly walk out, look at it, and it's just me yelling, fuck. And my camera just like, fuck off, because I'm pissed. Like, it's awful. So, yeah, but I think that holy scene cow, specifically. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'll get it fixed. I call the guy. It'll be sitting under a tarp for a couple days. I have to drive Amy's car, which is this 2022 car, which horrible me. I have this mom car that I'm driving now, but it's fine. But yeah, that's a perfect scene from what my movie would be. Just these long shot scenes that are just me sort of doing a regular thing, and then something ridiculous and stupid happens because I'm
well explained. That's perfect. Good. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
I loved having this conversation with you, and you'll definitely come on again.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We got more movies.
I have some movies to do.
This was like the intro. This actually was like the intro of you being a guest. That's what it was.
Me being a guest?
No, you were a guest.
Yeah.
But this was just a long intro of you coming back.
I'm a guest that's coming back. Yeah. I want to come back. Yeah, I only want to come back for movies that you haven't seen. And then if the summer movies, we can watch them at my house.
Yes.
Like, that's like a coupling of this.
That's what I'm saying.
Come to my house, watch on my big screen outside, and then we'll come here and talk about it.
So now.
I'm hyped.
Chris, it was so much fun. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Just Harder Brunch every Sunday with Dyke. Obviously, Harder Brunch is also, you can kind of family with this podcast, and then the Drunk Dial is Dyke and Bridget every Sunday. Are they every Sunday too, or are they every Tuesday?
I mean, they release.
I don't know
whenever
they put it out. Yeah, they're weekly though. They put it out every
weekly,
week.
Yeah,
I think
I was just on the last one.
Oh,
yeah. So Bridget was sick, that. And then so was Dyke was at his 420 show.
Oh, were you the host?
Yeah. So
you
me
and who
and
else?
Zach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn it!
It was actually a fun one.
Yeah.
It was actually fun.
I gotta listen to that. That's awesome.
Because we're just like, I'll tell you more about it later.
That sounds great. But I think Harder Brunch is great. It's just us and food people or comedian people just having a good time. Obviously, my favorite episode in a long time was your birthday.
Did you like that
one? Oh, my God. That was the best episode. We had such a good time.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
It actually played really well. I was worried. I'm like, we're having too good of a time. It's not going to play well. But I really feel like, and obviously I'm biased, but I feel like you feel like you're part of the time. There were so many like instances where we were talking and I thought like we laugh too hard, but I think it's all hilarious.
No, yeah, we went crazy for that one.
It was
and
great.
I was like, I came with like energy where like, well, let's just have fun.
You kept taking your shirt off.
I did keep
so fun.
My shirt did come off a couple times.
It was great.
I feel like I'm like the more professional version of that right now of myself. Like, oh, I don't know that guy.
I'm not taking off your shirt guy.
I don't know that birthday guy. That's not what this podcast is going to be. But,
you
know, maybe if there's a movie that inspires me to take off my shirt, I will.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Great having you here. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to IDK It. We have more episodes coming out soon. Please like and subscribe and leave a good review if you can. Thank you so much for being a part of this. We'll see you soon.